Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
It's the very last Monday of the season. Ladies and gentlemen, we've made it to the very last reverse chronological lightning round Monday of the 2023-2024 NBA campaign. Whew. Deep breath, everyone. We're almost there. There are no games tonight, so you don't have to worry about that, at least. There are all the games on Tuesday and, Friday and Sunday or something like that. I forget exactly how it shakes out. But don't worry, we'll have a weekly preview show coming up later on today. That'll be kind of a quick one because it's going to be about how to break down your week, and the week is basically Wednesday and Thursday. Because nobody plays on today, nobody plays Saturday, and everybody plays Sunday and Friday, and almost everybody plays tomorrow. So that'll be an interesting show. Not. Yep. I am very contemporary with my references. This is Fantasy NBA Today, everybody. I'm Dan Bashbris. Thanks for listening. Today, every day, all season long. Quick reminder that we do have shows Monday through Friday all off season long as well. We're going to be going through lessons learned from a season gone by. We're going to be breaking down the Dan Bashbris old man squad from this year, where we had hits, where we had misses, why, perhaps, if we could isolate that. We're going to do the same thing with Yahoo's board. Find out how close they got in general and what that means for how we draft going into next year as we kind of look at that, and then also trend lines for Yahoo's rankings over the seasons as they continue to get their information from different sources, different people doing the work that gets fed into Yahoo's engine. It's not consistent year over year. Sometimes it is year over year, but typically not over more of a longer haul because people just move. Analysts change places. It's not a algorithm. Somebody's punching these numbers in. We'll go through team by team how they performed this last year. We'll do NBA draft prep. We'll do free agency prep. We'll talk some betting during the playoffs. We got a lot of stuff coming up here over the next couple of months on Fantasy NBA Today, and I hope you'll stick with us for that. And to that end, please do like and subscribe. And if you have a moment, please drop a 5-star rating on the show. I know I should have done all these asks earlier in the year when there were more of you watching or listening to the show, because everybody that's watching and listening now is probably a long-time listener. But you know what? I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Please take a second to drop that 5-star review. It really does mean a lot. Let's talk about the weekend. And frankly, it's basically a Sunday review because everybody but four teams played yesterday. But fear not, those four teams played on Saturday. So we don't even have to go back to Friday on this one. Yes, indeed. My weekly adventure in who didn't play over the weekend is a non-adventure on this show. Cavaliers led the Clippers by 20-something points in the middle of the third quarter. They blew it. They blew it. You blew it. Darius Garland at least had finally a decent ball game. It's been a huge disappointment this year. Max Strus has played well since coming back from his injury. He looks revitalized. Caris LeVert filling in for Donovan Mitchell in this ballgame had a better one. No surprise there. And that's kind of the story on the Cavaliers side. We're not going to spend too much time on this stuff that doesn't require too much time because, number one, this final week is total silly season time, so a lot of it's just not going to matter. And secondly, I want to make sure we're efficient here. You guys don't need a 55-minute show when the key stuff to watch is largely going to be just who plays on a night-to-night basis. For the Clippers, that player is not Kawhi Leonard right now. He's finally dinged up. It took him all season long to get there, but overall, a really nice year for Kawhi. He's at 68 ball games. I think they're hoping to have him back for, you know, one or two before the regular season ends. But either way, it's a win for him because most folks assumed he would barely crack 60, if that. And he's got a shot to get pretty darn close to 70 if he can squeeze out another game or two. Is there anybody that fills in for him? Not really. No. I mean, you know, Norman Powell gets a few extra shots, but that ain't enough for him. So it's just a lot of Paul George, a decent amount of James Harden. Some Ivica Zubats these days, and that's basically as far as you go with the Clippers. Nobody else is even remotely close to value. And for Zubats, it's really more of a big man stream. We've talked about this before. He goes in these stretches where he plays better for a week or two, and that's a nice spot to roll him out in most formats, but then it kind of levels off to more of a what we've been referring to as a doesn't-matter range or a category stream. They're kind of the same general range of player, which is like 100 to 150, something in that neck of the woods. Amon Thompson got thrown out early for throwing Maxi Kleba to the ground in this Houston-Dallas overtime adventure, which opened up a whole bunch of shots for Dylan Brooks. And he actually made a lot of them in this ball game. So, you know, kudos to you, Dylan, for not tanking somebody's percentages. But again, he's one player away still, as we're seeing. There was, I think, fleeting hope that maybe we'd see a better Cam Whitmore game with Amon Thompson gone. Nope. But when Amon's back for the next one, presumably, then you just go with Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr., Freddie VanVleet, and Jalen Green. That is as far as you need to go. Dallas side, Kyrie, Luka, not surprisingly, went gigantic. Daniel Gafford had 5 fouls in 16 minutes, so they had to roll with a heavy dose of Maxi Kleba in this one, and you're not going to read too much into that because foul trouble does foul troubly things. And Gafford will likely do more in the next one. He was also very bad in the minutes he was on the court, so they went a different direction. Easy, you know, just switch it up, try something new. Gafford's still the guy to have in the front court there, and there's really nobody else. PJ Washington, 14 and 13 in an overtime game. He's been fine. Unspectacular. I'm trying to see, what's PJ done over, like, the last, month? With Dallas, I feel like he's probably kind of also in that doesn't matter range, maybe slightly above it because he went through a heater in there. Yeah, he's number 90. So PJ's just barely above the doesn't matter range because he's bad at both percentages, but he's been able to float things with 2 threes, 1.3 steals, and 1.1 blocks over that month. And that's always kind of been the hope with him is like, oh, can we get enough out of those categories? And then he runs hot and cold, and that's why for a really long time, if you guys listened all season long, PJ was on our stream while hot board, which still is. It's not a past tense thing. He's a guy you stream when he's hot. Over the last 2 weeks, he's shooting 48% from the field on more shot attempts, and so over that stretch, he's like a top 50 guy. But then he suddenly shoots 35% over a medium volume, and the wheels come off real quick. So right now, he's a yes. He's been decent enough lately to get PJ into your lineups, but it's going to be wildly up and down with him. And it's so annoying because if you get caught on the wrong week, he can tank you. And as far as Roto goes, basically, if you're attacking percentages in any way, he's a no. Points leagues, yes. And then I think that pretty much made sense, so we can keep going. So PJ Washington is like a soft yes right now, because he's been good the last 2 weeks, and just hope that the wheels don't come off before the season ends. Miami lost Terry Rozier partway through to a sore neck. Hopefully that turns out to be okay. In this particular game, Caleb Martin picked up the pieces, and Duncan Robinson was awful again. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. Typically, he's been a very safe stream, although Tyler Hero was back for this ball game, so I guess you could put a lot of it on that. But Duncan did get the start, and we've been talking about how, you know, when he starts, he's been useful. With Hero back, I think you can now pull the plug on Robinson, but he wasn't very good coming back from injury even before Hero returned. So go Hero, Butler, Bam, and then when he's back, Terry Rozier. But I don't think that if Rozier misses a ball game, I don't know that I would do anything with it. There just sort of aren't enough things to do left. So just go with the big names in Miami. Indy, Miles Turner, TJ McConnell continues to be really, really good in this just flamethrower bench role he's got right now. Siakam and Halliburton were not very good in this ballgame, but the team did enough around them to get the win. But those two guys are obviously starting. Aaron Nesmith was better in this ballgame, but he's at the back end of the doesn't matter group. Frankly, I don't even know what categories you'd be hunting if you streamed him. He's not scoring very much. He's not really doing much of anything. He's doing just a very small amount of a bunch of things. And there are other guys doing that better right now. Thunder, without Jalen Williams, without Shea, again. In this one, it was the Aaron Wiggins show, mostly because he had 6 steals. But Josh Giddey and Lu Dort have been the safer fill-ins for SGA and Jalen Williams. Dort was not as good in this one, but Giddey had a triple-double, and I think you could probably play both of them. Dort is not a particularly exciting fantasy player. You're mostly just hunting points and threes on that one, so less exciting as a fill-in play. Giddey's the guy that can get you a little bit more across the board, and then hopefully Shea shows up again at some point because, you know, he's good. I would like to get another game or two out of him in my roto leagues before the season's over. Please, oh please. I'm not picking up Wiggins. I'm not picking up Cason Wallace. Yeah, Giddey and then maybe Dort are kind of your two fill-ins there. For Charlotte, a little bit of an interesting development here. Nick Richards was back, but he came off the bench behind Grant Williams. And Grant Williams as the starting center is all systems go. He's a play in every format because he's scoring more. His rebounds were not very good because Miles Bridges and Alexei Pokuševski took a bunch of them. But typically his rebounds are better when he's playing the center position. The assists are pretty good. He's kind of a point center on this club. Vasilije Micic is your regular point guard, but they're kind of running stuff through Grant Williams at times. And then he'll fall nose first into a steal or a block every once in a blue moon. But for Grant Williams, if he's the center, and right now it kind of seems like he is, because look, if Nick Richards is back and he's still not playing starting center job, then you got to go Grant. He's a top 75 guy as the starting center, and that's worth playing. Trey Mann finally had a better ball game. He went 7-for-7 shooting, but he did have 5 turnovers. You know, he's been outside even the doesn't matter category hunting group, but if you're category hunting, you're typically looking for a few rebounds, a few assists, and basically a steal, and then anything else would be kind of gravy. Although I would continue to argue that by and large, there are better players out there that do the same kind of stuff. And then Micic, who has all kinds of 9-category holes, but he's very good at getting assists. That's where you're attacking there. He's a category hunt as well. Pelicans got a big win over the Suns. This was a huge game for Western Conference playoff standings. Right now, the Pels are tied with the Suns after this victory. Suns had a chance to really push themselves up comfortably into the 6th spot with a 2-game lead. And instead, well, 2-game over the Pels, it would have been a 2-game lead over the Kings, too, or at least 1.5. And instead, New Orleans got them. Woke up at the right time. Big game out of Zion. Big game out of CJ. And they needed their guys to step up at a big, big game out of Larry Nance Jr. And poor Jonas Valanciunas. 4 minutes in this game. 4. Thought for sure we could give him a look with all the injuries that have gone down there. But now Brandon Ingram is not that far away, and like, Valanciunas is just cooked, man. Cooked. Finally, the handicap we had at the beginning of the year has truly come to roost. Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, you can keep those guys rolling. Dyson Daniels is a steals stream if you badly want them. And then Larry Nance, no, you're not going to. I love Larry Nance. I love his fantasy game, but you can't rely on this happening night to night. So Zion, CJ, Trey, Herb are your everyday starts. And Dyson is your steals attack monster. Phoenix has their starters right now, so you just play those guys. That's an easy one. We can keep on going. Chicago, they're down Alex Caruso for this one, so that meant Andre Drummond got a few extra minutes. That's always good for him. Javonte Green got the spot start and put up some really big numbers in 22 minutes, but the 22 minutes is the thing I'm looking at and going, yeah, I don't think we're going to walk this path again. Unless they just turn it over to him and say, go ahead, you got 35 minutes, Caruso's out for a bit. I'm not making that play. Drummond is the one that you'd be looking at here because he was getting 9-10 rebounds a game even before someone went down, and so throw an extra minute or two his direction, and you're basically guaranteed 10-plus boards. And I feel like even if he doesn't do much of anything else, but look, 20-some-odd minutes for Drummond, he'll get you a defensive stat, probably more. Hopefully the field goal percent will be decent. You pray he doesn't go to the free throw line, just sort of catch it on the right moment. But I think we could all use that combination of rebounds, steals, blocks, field goal percent in some. I mean, I guess, you know, you might have a roto team where those stats are all fine and okay, whatever. But like most of us could use at least one of those things. And so Drummond is likely a streamable play while Alex Caruso is out. And he's pretty close to streamable as a category hunt guy, even when the Bulls are healthy, so one guy going down does indeed make the difference. Franz Wagner turned an ankle in this ball game. I'm sure they'll just like to get him back before the playoffs start. They're pretty securely up in the, not in the play-in, I should say. Although the East is so bunched, 3 through 8 right now, all separated by 4 games. Bucks a game up on the Magic, who are tied with the Knicks, 1.5 game ahead of the Cavaliers. They're a game up on the Pacers, who are a game up on the Sixers, who are 0.5 game up on the Heat. So if guys can go on these teams, I think you're going to see them go, but they also need to be sort of careful because you don't want to screw around and muck it up. So Jalen Suggs is a go. Wendell Carter Jr. is more of a points league play, points, rebounds, streamer, if you're category hunting. Franz, you just hope he's up to the task, and then Paolo is your points league option. Jonathan Isaac also only played 5 minutes, dealing with a sore back. He'll never be healthy enough to be a true fantasy asset, but we'll always keep one eye on him because 20 minutes is all it takes. Womp-bitty-bomp-bomp-bomp. A sip of water and away we go on this delightful Washington-Toronto romp. Raptors have enthusiastically won 2 games in a row. Washington is still trotting Jordan Poole out there. He's putting up colossal numbers now, as is Denny Avdia. These are the sort of the last man standing situation. Corey Kispert is a play while Kyle Kuzma remains out. And Patrick Baldwin had a nice ball game here, but it's been kind of an alternating between Baldwin or Jared Butler or Tristan Vukcevic. He had 3 blocks. I'm still hoping that Rashawn Holmes shows up for a game or two down the stretch. I don't know if it's going to happen. What I'd like to see happen here with Washington, in addition to Rashawn Holmes coming back and playing a game, is Jordan Poole sitting a few out, because then I think we could roll Jared Butler into the mix. But for now, you go Poole, you go Avdija, you go Kispert, and I don't know that I have the stones to play any of these other dudes in. If Holmes stays out, you could probably play Vukcevic and like maybe pray for some rebounds and a block, but you really don't know what you're getting there. Frankly, it's a little bit too risky for me. Grady Dick got hurt partway through for the Raptors, because at this point, if there isn't 1 to 2 injuries in every ballgame, what are we even doing out there? Groin issue, we'll see if he's playing. Doesn't really matter for fantasy. RJ Barrett, points league only, and then you play quickly Olynyk and Trent in 9 category, because those guys are super fun when they get a lot of usage, which they very much did here. I had a few of you that were like, do I really need to hang on to Kelly Olynyk? Bleh. Yes, you jerk faces. Top 70 over the last month, despite 3.5 turnovers a game. Top 40 over the last 2 weeks. And 34th is the rank over the last 1 week. Kelly Olynyk with usage is a fantasy behemoth. Last week is at 16-8-4 with over a steal, a block, 61% from the field, a three-pointer, and 83% at the foul line. Absolute monster. Portland, not surprisingly, got beat up by the Celtics. DeAndre Ayton and Delano Banton are the two players I feel comfortable telling you to start. Jabari Walker is a rebounds stream, kind of in the Andre Drummond vein, but without field goal percent. Scoot Henderson is an assists play, knowing that he's likely going to light a stick of dynamite in your team's field goal percent and turnovers. Yowza. I say no. I say nay. Nay, I say. Celtics played most of their regulars in this ballgame. I think Jason Tatum, if I'm recalling right. Yeah, Tatum was the only regular that got the day off, so that means you get a little more Al Horford. But against a really bad team, you knew they were going to try to roll reserves as much as possible. So if you're a Celtic player, had an okay game before they pulled the plug on it about halfway through, congratulations, you survived the Celtics playing a tanko team. And now we sort of have the look-ahead moment of, okay, well, what's coming up for Boston? Yeah, they do finally now have a back-to-back again, which I know you're like, wait a minute, weren't they resting guys anyway? Yeah, it's only going to get worse. They got Milwaukee tomorrow, not a back-to-back, but then they play Thursday, Friday on a back-to-back. One of those two is a non-overload day, so you just pray your Celtics play on Thursday instead of Friday, but who knows? Who knows? There will be a Pritchard moment in there. He had a nice ball game in this one in the blowout. There will probably be a Sam Hauser moment in there. There might even be a Luke Kornet moment in there, but can't really do anything about it today. Well, you could, but it'd be a little silly. Knicks beat the Bucks. The Bucks are in free fall. They've lost four games in a row, and the Knicks were the best team they've lost to, and the poor New York Knicks are down all sorts of bodies right now. But the Bucks have lost to the Wizards, the Grizzlies, the Raptors, and the Knicks. What are you doing? You want to go into the playoffs hot? The Bucks are the distinct opposite. They're losing to everybody. The worst of the worst. And then the Knicks also. In a surprise twist, OG Anunoby is back for the Knicks. So you can go ahead and drop Miles McBride. Deuce. Send him to the waiver wire. Josh Hart, Isaiah Hartenstein, Anunoby, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo. Those are your starts right now as we wait to see if Mitchell Robinson can get his legs underneath him over this last week. The assumption I would make is that, no, he probably doesn't have enough time to do it. For the Bucks, Chris Middleton couldn't make it through this ball game. It's listed on Basketball Monster as mouth trauma. Oh, no. Mouth trauma. He got mouth triggered. They're always going to go easy on Middleton because he's built out of paper straws at this point. While he's out, I would venture to say that Malik Beasley's probably going to do a tiny bit more, but Beasley's also been really bad lately. When he goes cold, he goes subarctic. So your play is probably to just go Dame Portis. We'll probably have an extra couple of shots. Giannis and Brooke Lopez. I don't think I'd do Beasley unless you just exclusively need three-pointers, because that's the only thing you can almost certainly count on. Philly took down San Antonio without Joel Embiid. He got this one off just resting the knee. They obviously need him more for the playoffs than they do for whatever these ball games are. And Tyrese Maxey went maximum. Tyrese Maxey, 52 points. Nice game, Tyrese. Batum had a decent ball game, but I don't care. This was a double overtime game, by the way. B-Ball Paul had 11 and 10 before fouling out. It was nice of them to just go with sort of a traditional Paul Reed at center lineup, so that was useful, but his minutes wouldn't have been this high without a bunch of extra playing time. Anyway, you don't have to worry about it. Embiid will be back, so you go Maxey, you go at Embiid, you go Oubre, you go Tobias Harris when he comes back, and then when Harris is back, you take a long look to make sure that Oubre can actually hang on. Keldon Johnson came back and then immediately got hurt again, turned his ankle, which it's like, well, whatever. Wemby, obviously a go. Trey Jones is a go. And then the other name that I threw out there last week was Julian Champagny, who's really doing some nice across-the-board stuff right now. And yes, he got extra points and extra rebounds and things of that. Thank you, double overtime. But he's been pretty good at, you know, we talked about earlier in the show, Aaron Nesmith doing a very little bit of many things. Champagny is doing a little bit more than that in many things. They call him Many Champagny. It's not that he's been good for the year, but here's the thing. We don't need somebody to be good for the year. We need somebody to be good for a minute. And Champagny is top 40 over the last week. 14 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, 1.3 steals, 1.7 blocks, 2 three-pointers on 48-78 splits with less than one turnover a ballgame. And, you know, it's kind of repeatable because he's likely going to get starters minutes because everybody is out. And I know what you're going to ask next, Dan, what do I do with Malachi Branham? And I will say, if you need points and threes, you can play him, but he's not going to be inside the top 109 cat. And points leagues, you could probably drop him in there and hope for the best, but he's not my cup of tea unless, again, you are really stat hunting hard on one or maybe just two categories, where also there's probably going to be some damage getting done. Also worth mentioning, Devontae Graham played 35 minutes. He was kind of a silly season hero last year, so keep one eye on him, but I ain't doing anything after this. Frankly, the game wasn't good enough for me to jump at him anyway. Sacramento took care of Brooklyn fast. Trey Lyles has been playing well. He's rendered Harrison Barnes completely useless, which I don't know why it took this long. The Kings re-signing Harrison Barnes was still one of the stranger moves when you could take that money and go try to get, I don't know, somebody that's not Harrison Barnes. In any event, this game was over early. If your Kings survived it, congratulations, because a number of them didn't need to play many minutes. Keon Ellis only had 19 minutes in the ballgame. Fox still managed to get up to 34 somehow, and Keegan Murray played 38 minutes. Kind of weird, but no, you're not playing Trey Lyles. You're going Sabonis, you're going Murray, you're going Fox, and I still think that Ellis is probably playable, but it does lean a bit towards steals, like defensive stat stream with some threes. The way that he gets above the mark is getting 30 minutes. So, again, a little weird that he didn't here, but you know, they went to lineups that they felt were working. He was in one that wasn't, and so they pivoted another way. I mean, Lyles was a plus 37. Davion Mitchell was a plus 36. That's what happened here. Davion took Keon Ellis' minutes, these two defense-first guys, and whichever one's playing better. And look, like I think the other thing with Ellis, and I remain pretty high on him, I think he's a bit out of gas. You know, he hadn't played significant NBA minutes, and then all of a sudden it was like, all right, you got to go full power on defense for 30-some-odd minutes every night. Typically, young guys can't do it. Old guys can't do it. It's why they play at 85% for long stretches. If that. So I'm still holding Ellis in spots where I need threes and steals and blocks and a smattering of rebounds and assists, but I would get it if you were like, yeah, I'm not really attacking a few of those categories, so I'll go another way. That's okay. This is not the time of year for me to be chastising anyone for losing their patience, because who cares? We got a week left. Brooklyn, please just shut everybody down at this point. It's time. That we started to see it here. Nick Claxton took this one off. Cam Johnson got this one off. Dennis Smith Jr. has been dealing with some pelvic stuff or hip or whatever it is. So, we finally got some new faces in the mix. Noah Clowney got 35 minutes. He's someone to watch list. Dayron Sharpe is someone to watch list. Trenton Watford is someone to watch list. I was a little surprised that Dennis Schroeder didn't have enough fantasy value here with everybody out, but he shot 1 for 12. And again, just a bright, neon, shimmering, exploding sign reminding you all that Dennis Schroeder's fantasy game stinks. Cam Thomas and Mikal Bridges are the only two players in this lineup that I'd feel comfortable saying, yeah, you should go probably play them. But the game was over early, so the minutes were kind of cockamamie on top of everything else. But let's just watch Brooklyn. So they're one of the rare teams that does not play tomorrow, so you'd have to wait until Wednesday to get another data point on them. But it's worth noting, because if everybody gets shut down, you might want to pivot into some young dude playing for the first time ever on Friday and Sunday. Sometimes those guys do better than the superstars in the last couple of games if a team's just like, yeah, we got no reason to play our guys right now. Hey, Keontae George didn't shoot 22% for a game. He didn't really do anything besides hit a bunch of shots. But, you know, at least he didn't destroy your team. Utah, Johnny Juzang had 27 with 7 3-pointers, and George had 25, and then the rest of the team was like, I don't know where the hell they were. Colin Sexton was fine. You can keep playing him. Omer Yurtseven is a rebounds field goal percent play, but again, he's sort of like the lower fun version of that. We've already talked about a few other guys that are better than him at that. Taylor Hendricks doesn't quite have the fantasy game to warrant a spot. Bryce Sensabaugh was someone we were watch listing, and he can stay on the watch list because Utah's really trying to lose hard. And they're doing a pretty damn good job of it. They've lost 12 games in a row. That's the worst out of everybody. Congratulations, Utah. You went from 29 and 37 to 29 and 49. Yucky. Ew. Could they fall behind the Grizzlies? Anything's possible. Just have to keep losing. Jonathan Kuminga back for the Warriors. Ted 21 and 10 off the bench. Trayce Jackson-Davis 16, 7, and 4 blocks. He's still rolling along. Brandon Podziemski filled in for Steph in this ballgame. Or Wiggins, depending on which one. I guess Chris Paul technically filled in for Steph. Whatever. So the Warriors knew they had a freebie against the Jazz, and they got a couple guys the day off. No Wiggins, no Steph. At least one of those dudes will likely be back for the next ballgame. Draymond got hurt, and they were like, you know, we don't really need you. So don't read too much into this ballgame. Klay's a hold. Chris Paul's a spot play when a guard starter is out. Kuminga's a play. Trayce Jackson-Davis is a play. Podziemski is not even honestly a spot play for me, because I don't trust him to do this again. And then Draymond Green, who actually been playing really well up until this point, he's a guy you're playing. So that's the quick and dirty on the Warriors. Minnesota, no big surprises here. Naz Reid, Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards all had pretty good games. You're holding Mike Conley. Slow-mo is a boards, assists, steals specialist, and he really only got you one of those things in this ball game. So, again, doesn't matter range kind of guy. Category hunter. And that's your story on the Wolves. Lakers lost Anthony Davis at the end of the first quarter. He got popped in the eye by Slow-mo, actually. Lakers were up 4 when Anthony Davis left the ball game, and they lost the rest of the game by 14. Not a huge surprise there because LeBron was also out. I think Anthony Davis will probably play in their next ball game. You know, he's gotten hit in that same eye a couple of times. Maybe he ends up wearing goggles or a visor or I don't know, something, because they got a big game against the Warriors tomorrow where if they lose it, they basically have no shot of getting out of the bottom half of the play-in. Right now, the Lakers still have a shot to get to the 8. They're a half game back of the Kings. Kings have one extra game left. The Lakers only have 3 games the rest of the way. Kings still have 4. Pels still have 4. I think basically everybody else in the Western Conference has 4, except for the Lakers. I think they're the only team that has 3. If the Pels and Lakers, by the way, play on the last day of the regular season, if the Pels win all 3 games before that, then they will have secured an upper half of the play-in tournament situation at least. And if the Kings win, I believe, 2 of their games, then they secure an upper half of the play-in tournament as well because they have the tiebreaker over the Lakers. Lakers and Pels, I think, will be playing for the tiebreaker on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a really weird little thing. Suns also have kind of a complicated schedule in there, not to take them out of the mix, but those 4 teams have a very important final week. I would be surprised to see the Suns fall into the lower half of the play-in tournament. They'd pretty much have to lose like 3 of their last 4 ball games, but anything's possible. Their schedule's tough. Phoenix has Clippers twice, the Kings and the Wolves, and all those teams are going to be gunning for them, although the Clippers will see if they have Kawhi, so Suns might kind of catch a break there. Pels, as we mentioned, they have the Lakers. They also have a very easy game against the Blazers tomorrow, but then they have the Kings and the Warriors. Again, both those teams are going to be gunning for them. So, again, like if the Pels go 2-1 over that stretch, then they're 48-33 going into their last ball game. And if the Lakers win their 2 games going into that, they'll be 47-34. So both those teams could end up 48-34, and they'll be playing to get that extra play-in game. So the nice thing about the bottom of the Western Conference is that you got a lot of teams, almost all of them, frankly, like 1 through 10, that are going to be playing for something. All that to say, I think AD probably tries to get in there for that game against the Warriors. The Lakers are very bad when Anthony Davis is not on the court, meaning if you're like thinking about going and picking up Jackson Hayes, you better wait on that. Because he did have a nice ball game, but he might not get to play. Spencer Dinwiddie filling in for LeBron did a nice job. Rui Hachimura filling in with some extra shots for AD and LeBron. You knew he was going to have a better ball game. And Austin Reeves is buried in a pretty nasty slump right now. At some point, he'll bust out of it, and you probably need to keep playing him. But it ain't going so great for Austin right now. All right, let's go back to Saturday. And before I do, I know there aren't that many of you hanging with us here at the end of the regular season, live at least. Plenty of you still listening after the fact, and I do appreciate you. A quick reminder, we've got shows all off-season long, Monday through Friday. And if you're new, just hanging out for this last week, trying to catch a few little nuggets before the season ends, please subscribe somehow. Yeah, I said subscribe. Whatever. Who played on Saturday that didn't play on Sunday? We need Detroit. We need Memphis, Atlanta, and Denver. Detroit, I told y'all to pick up Chimezie Metu, and he's been awesome. 27-3, 3 steals, 2 threes on a perfect 9-for-9 shooting. Metu's been great. Keep him rolling. Jalen Duren sat this one out. James Wiseman's usually a pretty safe 10-10 guy, but he didn't do much else, so it's kind of a super low floor, also pretty low ceiling play. But if you need boards and a few points and decent field goal percent, Wiseman is probably all right. Again, that's a category hunting move. Marcus Sasser is on the board as a threes and assists play. Not going to get a ton of either, but he's probably not going to ruin you. And then with Cade out, I'm assuming for the rest of the season, but we don't know, Jaden Ivey should be playable now in 9-cat on top of points leagues as well. Memphis. All right, well, it's just a big fat question of who the hell is actually going to play. Brandon Clark has been kind of fun. I've been impressed. They've got a back-to-back here at the front end of this week, tomorrow, and the following day. And he's going to sit out one of those. I think I'd probably play Clark in the other in Roto. You get some points, get some boards, get some defensive stats, usually get some field goal percent. I hope he doesn't go 0-for-2 at the foul line, but I guess you never know. Also of note, Jordan Goodwin is seemingly playing in all of Memphis's games right now. I don't think we see any of the regulars back this week, but I've been surprised before. So keep a very close watch on the Grizzlies, because you might get Scottie Pippen Jr. as a play. You might get Jordan Goodwin as a play. I still don't like G.G. Jackson's 9-cat game, but it definitely a points league option. Trey Jameson would probably be a rebounding option, and then Brandon Clark would probably be an option as well. So stay tuned. We'll talk about the Grizzlies again tomorrow. Since we won't have any games to recap, we'll mostly be looking at the injury report, and we'll try to get a bead on which of these guys you could maybe drop into a lineup for some of, or maybe all of this week. I mean, you might get, this may be one of those weird weeks where you get a better week out of Jordan Goodwin than you do out of Damian Lillard. The last week is super, I'm not saying you will, I'm just saying the last week is extraordinarily odd. Be ready for anything, and the Grizzlies pivoting into 30-plus minutes for these five or six guys would be fantasy notable. Nothing super notable for Atlanta. The same old crap. DeAndre Hunter is just a points play at this point. Bogdanović, Capella, Murray, Jalen Johnson, those are the guys you can actually play every day. And then the Nuggets. Yeah, Jamal Murray came back. He played 21 minutes. The Nuggets have a back-to-back tomorrow and the following day, so he may or may not play in both those. If he doesn't, it doesn't really change anything that I'm doing, because I don't like playing Reggie Jackson as a streamer. So, you know, either you get Murray or you don't, but I'm not throwing anybody else at that situation. And that is all 30 teams, ladies and gentlemen. We did it in about 35 minutes or so after my show opening rant. And that, I think, is about all we need to talk about today. Did anybody bring up a name in the chat room? Nope. Nobody that we haven't covered yet. Excellent. Excellent news, friends. We will have a weekly preview show coming up in a couple of hours today. We'll break down. That'll be the last streaming show we do, by the way, for the rest of this regular season. So that's going to be a streaming weekly preview show coming up in a couple of hours. The rest of the week, we're just going to be trying to analyze the news as we go through these standard recap shows, because again, there's really only like a Wednesday and Thursday to talk about from a streaming standpoint. So there's no reason to do a streaming show every single day when, like, today nobody plays, Saturday nobody plays, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, basically everybody. It's two teams that don't play tomorrow. Who the hell is Cleveland and it's Brooklyn. Okay, so, you know, but then they both go on Wednesday. If you wanted to move to somebody, I mean, you should be overfilled tomorrow. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't have at least 10 guys going. So there's no reason to make a move today or tomorrow. You make all your moves on Wednesday and Thursday, and then you just pray enough of those guys are playing on Friday and Sunday. That's it. That's the whole damn thing. I'm going to do a streaming show later today. It's going to be 22 seconds long. I'm Dan Vesperus, at Dan Vesperus on Twitter. Please like, rate, and subscribe. I really need your help as we wind down the regular season. And I want you guys with us all off season long, because I really don't want to be shouting into the void to no one. Have a great couple of hours. We'll see you later.